Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning and welcome to Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program.
Let's expand on that and explain further what that means to Southern Utah listeners. We are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are your one-stop resource for all things seniors. Everything you may need. There is never any obligation or cost for information. We help you navigate the very difficult healthcare system. We answer questions and we help you find the available resources both locally and often nationally. And many seniors don't realize that most of these available services are 100% free to the beneficiary, and that's important to know. So don't be afraid to call if you need help with anything at all. You need some resources, give us a call. There's never any obligation.
We're not bad people to talk to. We're learning how to speak and communicate by being involved in this radio program, and that's helped us learn a lot. I still speak a little too fast, but I'm working on that. But we are a family-owned and operated, licensed and certified by Medicare and Medicaid. That means that we've gone through a complete process of making sure that we comply with all of the rules. And in addition, we are fully accredited by the ACHC, the Accreditation Commission on Healthcare, which takes us to an even higher standard of providing care. That means our operating standards exceed Medicare's minimum standards, and we want to add on to that also by adding a significant level of palliative care, which we'll be talking about today.
Right. Many of our competitors can't say that they are fully licensed and accredited by ACHC, so we're proud to be able to offer that information and all the services and information available. So that you know how to contact our office with any of your questions or need for help, 435-477-6999. Again, 435-477-6999. Or go on to our website at pathwayhospicecare.com. And we look forward to hearing from you.
After the last few months, we've been leading off with some COVID good news. And we keep thinking, okay, well, we've kind of gone through that, and we should have, get everybody a little more comfortable. Our goal in that was not to, take any real sides or push any extremes, but I guess give people some comfort from the middle. There's no denying that COVID exists and that people do contract it, and that it can contribute to medical conditions, and that wearing masks do help reduce the spread a little bit. All of those things are being true, so we don't want to explain that. But it seems like the media is always twisting information. Statistics make great witnesses, because if you torture and twist them enough, they'll tell you anything you want to hear. And so in our goal of, again, trying to provide some comfort from the middle instead of the yelling and screaming from the two opposing sides.
Right. Every mom knows. You'll hear, one child run in the room and say, "Oh, Johnny hit me." But you always have to find out the other side. Why did Johnny hit you, right?
And the answer somewhere in the middle.
Something happened. So we just try to bring you both sides. Not just the right, not just the left, but remember, find comfort somewhere in the middle where we have a little less anxiety and we can live a higher quality of life.
And there are plenty of things that you can find on the internet to get you there, but I was just looking through the Utah Department of Health website talking about coronavirus process for tracking deaths. And here's the reality. There's a big difference between dying with a disease and dying from a disease. However, the recommendations from the Department of Vital or the National Vital Statistics System, along with the National Center for Health Statistics, have put COVID at the forefront of getting registered on death certificates. And that contributes to the numbers that are being propagated out there. And we have to look at, if we're comparing the U.S. statistics to other countries, are they using the same standards that we are, or is it different? If we are tracking everybody who, and I can give you some statistics. In fact, I won't go into a lot of details. If you want to have this information directly from government agencies that is relatively self-explanatory of how this is being done, then give our office a call. I'll point you in the right direction. But basically, anybody who could have coronavirus, who may have been tested that's going to be listed on the death certificate. It may not be the cause of death. The question that we have to ask is, are the statistics those people who died from the virus, or are the statistics those who died with the virus?
One thing that I thought was really interesting is, even if somebody dies in a car accident, if they are tested, and they will be tested because mm-hmm. we're trying to track a pandemic, right?
Right.
So they will be tested, even if you know, nationwide, worldwide, if you die in a car accident, they're going to test you for COVID. If you have COVID, they will list that number or list that report on the death certificate as one of their findings,
right.
And then you become part of the statistics. And I only say that just to say, remember, look at both sides and don't live in fear.
Right. And here's another quote. In cases where a definitive diagnosis of COVID-19 cannot be made, but it is suspected or likely, in parentheses, the circumstances are compelling within a reasonable degree of certainty, it is acceptable to report COVID-19 on a death certificate. In these instances, certifiers should use their best clinical judgment in determining if a COVID-19 infection was likely. Now, again, being tested for COVID makes you infected, but that doesn't mean that it had anything to do with your cause of death. But the U.S. is tracking every death as a COVID-19 death if COVID-19 had anything to do with it. So just be well informed. When you hear information that is taking an extreme position, understand that there's probably another side to that. And let's find comfort in the middle. Again, there's nothing wrong with wearing a mask. We're certainly not trying to deny, you know, any of this stuff. So
yes, wear your masks.
And let's see
be
if we
compliant.
Can. Let's see if we can do better to control not only this virus, but every other virus. Right now we're in flu season. So if we follow these same procedures, which have been around since we were little kids, wash your hands often, don't spread germs. If we do that, then we'll have a lower flu season too. So it's all good news from here.
Right. We have some other good news.
We do have some other good news. We are grandparents again as of yesterday afternoon.
Congratulations.
Which is really good news for you. You may not realize this, but if it had been later, if it had been tonight or early this morning, I would be the only one talking to you on the radio, and that would have been bad for everybody. So luckily, Kaylee's here, and we get to have a better conversation.
I don't know. I think some people would prefer just to hear your nice, deep radio voice, and we could bypass me.
How many grandkids now?
Well, we always enjoy having Andy on the show. He's the one who saves us from ourselves sometimes by jumping in.
That's right.
How many grandkids?
This just makes two.
Two.
New to the grandparent world. And
see, I went from zero to two 4 months ago because my daughter had twins.
Oh, so, wow. You right started there with out you. With double numbers, too.
And is it bad form to announce it on the radio? Did you announce that you were a grandparent?
Oh, absolutely. You kidding?
Oh, you did? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
I may not have said something if it was my own kid, but being a grandparent, I mean, you got to, right?
Well, you do. And we love to share those things with our Southern Utah family. It's exciting news. You know, there's what sells in the media is the negative, those things that excite and elicit
fear. There's a motivator.
So it's fun to be able to say, good news, we have a new baby, and it's so exciting.
So being in hospice, we're living both ends of this spectrum
sure.
and having these experiences.
Yeah. Okay, something really important to bring up. You may have heard an advertisement right before we started, as a matter of fact. But Medicare open enrollment is ending December 7th. Let me explain what that means to you. So as part of our senior services, we do have resources available for people to talk to you personally. It doesn't involve us at all, but we can give you the link and the direction on how to contact people. The services are 100% free to you, but they may be able to evaluate your current Medicare decisions, choices, and change them for you or offer them to be changed. And it can save you thousands of dollars a year. And I will promise you that we have had a number of calls from people who called in looking for the resources, for the free resources to evaluate their Medicare. And then they call us back and say, oh my gosh, I loved them. They're saving my mom $600 a year, or they're saving us $1,000 a year, $800 a year. I have had all the numbers of yearly savings. So it's a free service to you, but it could save you money. So you might want to call our office and see if it's time for you to change your Medicare program. And remember, COVID changed Medicare, so you probably want to have your Medicare looked at.
Right. More information is always better. We know that we're better informed and can make better decisions for ourselves when we
have
more.
And you'll feel better if you find out, no, you have the perfect Medicare plan for you. This is the best you can do. You'll feel good about that.
That's right.
So just look into that.
So we'll have a little more confidence. So today we wanted to kind of go back and talk again about why we're on the radio and why the messages we're trying to get out there.
And why are we doing that? Because, again, we're new to radio. We're trying to figure it out, but we continue to have calls. Last week we had a couple of calls, and it makes me laugh because I think, well, why are you on the radio? Well, we're just trying to help the seniors. You know, we're trying to offer resources and information and, you know, knowledge is power. But we thought we'd go back over who we are. So we're Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are trying to help change the stigma of the name hospice surrounding hospice. It's
because
a scary word.
And a lot of you people that hear that word hospice, you know, what is your first response when you hear that word? And for most everybody that we've talked to, it's not a positive. And when we are only focused on the negative part, again, we go to this extreme position of, well, if you're on hospice, then you are, you know, just days away from passing away. And that shouldn't be the case. Hospice should not be that focus.
It certainly isn't doom and despair, is it?
And we're trying to introduce the word palliative care and give a better explanation of that. So we're going to go through that today and give you guys a little background. So what does hospice mean? What should it mean? There are some myths out there. If you enroll in hospice, that means you're giving up on life. And that's really the last thing we're doing. We're actually trying to change our focus, take control of the things we can control.
It's choosing to focus on the quality of life as opposed to the quantity of life. It is focused care. People enrolled in hospice actually live on average longer, 31 days.
Right. And if we add palliative care to that, that adds even more time. But it's important when we're looking at our own medical conditions to consider whether a process is going to do us some good. And the truth is, yesterday in the hospital, if you're not learning something new in these new experiences, you're not paying attention. There was a lot to learn, and it just reinforces the idea that you really need to be well-informed and be able to be your own best medical advocate.
It's kind of a sad state of society, really, today. But anything you're doing, you always have to have your own base of knowledge first. If you're buying a car, you need to know, you know, what the value of the car is before you go into the dealership. If you're buying insurance, you need to know kind of what your situation is and be able to trust in yourself more than putting your faith in somebody else to tell you what's best for you.
Right. So when you're considering your own medical care, as we get, you know, advanced in years, we really have to look at whether something is going to do us some good or whether it's just going to be a process that we put ourselves through. You know, if we talk to the doctor and they give us an option and say, well, we can do this, and you don't ask, okay, so what's my upside to that? What do I expect to gain if I go through this? And what do I expect to lose? Because everything has those two sides. And make your own decision. We had a patient who went through and had a surgery that the family didn't understand, wasn't going to do any good, but the doctor felt that it provided the family some hope. Or probably more accurately, it allowed him to not have to say, really, there's nothing left to be done.
Well, and sadly, during COVID, he ended up remaining in a rehabilitation care center for about 60 days. That was 60 days that he could have been hit with his family being cared for and loved, as opposed to being alone in a rehab center.
And this was a procedure after a long series of procedures that it would already been determined that he was declining and there wasn't going to be a solution. So they just went through this other procedure. He stayed, you know, 60 days in a care facility. And when we got him out, he was at a point where he was just happy to be home. And he did pass away within 2 weeks. It would have been much better had he not been taken that, you know, that extra procedure, probably been in better condition to begin with. Whether or not he would have lasted longer, we don't know. But we know that he would have enjoyed the last 2.5 months of his life more than he did doing that procedure.
Right. Another myth. To get hospice care, you'll have to leave your home or be in an inpatient facility of some kind, and that's absolutely not true.
That's right. We as a hospice provider want to provide care wherever you live. If you live in your own home, then we want to provide care there. We can bring the support to help you deal with all of your ADLs.
Activities of daily living. I didn't know what you were asking me.
So that you can remain in your home, and we can take some of that burden away so that you have less stress and be able to enjoy those things and get yourself in a position to have more joyous events happen than dealing with the problem.
Here's an interesting point. A lot of people believe that if they come on to hospice, that they either give up their primary care doctor or that they can only go to the facility that their primary care doctor directs them to. And that is absolutely untrue. In fact, Medicare really, really wants hospice to be about choice. Because if you do not, again, do your own research, you won't know what you're not getting if you don't give us a call and give and figure everything out. You know, what services are being provided to you in one facility versus another. So know what your options are, know what your choices are, but also know that your primary care doctor can continue to follow you.
That's right. And truthfully, a lot of doctors aren't aware of this, and we're trying to change that understanding too, because while they may believe that there's some barrier that you pass through that they can't to follow your care, that's actually untrue. They can follow your care. They can continue to provide some care for you.
And they can continue to bill for their services.
Right.
So it's not
which
like
is important to them, and that's reasonable that they're able to bill for those services.
Sure. We all want to get paid for
but a lot of physicians, aren't well aware of that. So we're working on getting that education out there too so that for everybody gets served better in this community. But you don't have to wait for your doctor to recommend hospice because you may see your doctor, you know, maybe every 3 months. You may not see him for 6 months or a year. And during that time, you may have had changes in what's gone on to where you realize that help would be a benefit to you in your own home. At that case, give us a call directly. There's no problem with calling us, and we'll, you know, engage your doctor in the conversation, and we'll see if there is a reason for you to consider hospice. We'll at least inform you about what your choices are so that you have a better understanding at some point later, if that's the case.
So hospice is not a place. It's a service. It's a benefit available to you. And as soon as you're eligible, you should take advantage of it because you've been paying into that system, that benefit, since the first day you started working. So as soon as it's available to you, you should take advantage of it because it's a next myth. It's free.
Right. Hospice is free. There's no question. And one point that I want to make is another myth or another concern that people have or fear is that somehow when hospice comes in, they take over and everything changes and not for the better. And we want you to know that for us, that was one of the things that we wanted to make sure didn't happen for our patients. We don't come in and take over and start making all the decisions. We just bring choices.
We give you the support so you can make the decisions for yourself. And that is a good point. I think you need to emphasize that a little bit more. Sometimes, and this is why you want to do your homework, why you want to know from one company to another what your options are. Some companies do come in and people, okay, so if I call hospice in, I don't get to make any decisions anymore. If that's the facility that you're in, you can change. It's all about choice. Or you can put your foot down and say, hey, we just discovered on the radio that this choice is about my choice, not your choice. And this is the care that we want. And these are the services that we require. And this is how we want this course to go. That's important. Knowledge is power. Know that you can remain in control, and truly you should remain in control.
And
the choice is yours.
Many of you listeners have had a hospice experience, and that could have been a good one or a less than good one. And so speaking to each of you individually, we want you to know that, you know, hospice can be a great thing, that nurses that care, coming into the home, those are all important parts of this. And for those that may have had a different hospice experience, they may have felt that, well, all they did was come in and administer drugs, and then, you know, that was kind of pushing towards the end, we want you to know that that doesn't have to be the case. You have that right to make those decisions. That drugs can be an important tool in helping somebody get the best possible life, but they don't have to be the only option. If we can provide you an alternative that works, then we want to talk about that alternative. We want to give you a variety of things, you know, because if pain is an issue and we can deal with the pain without just medicating you into, you know, not being able to feel anything, then we'd rather do that. If anxiety is an issue, then yes, there are drugs, but there are alternatives, and we'd rather have a chance to talk to you and find out what that is and work through those anxieties than
sure.
we would to just
you
hide
just
them.
You may have a personal family stress that you're dealing with. That doesn't really require the use of medication. It just requires addressing or overcoming that challenge. So hospice is about choice. Hospice is free to eligible Medicare beneficiaries, and many other insurance carriers will cover long-term hospice provisions, even including Medicaid. It does not have to be prescribed by your doctor. You should know more about it first. You should be proactive in your understanding.
Yeah, if you know about it before it matters, then you're not under the stress of trying to figure it out in the moment. So we really would encourage everybody to get better information. Contact our office. We'll send you some information. There's information online. You can look that up, you know, and just understand, just read the information and take it for what it is and build your own understanding, and then talk to us, and we'll help you kind of work through some of the kinks of that if there are any.
It's also not just for cancer patients. It's for anyone with a life-limiting illness has a life expectancy that is limited by the disease, that when there's no more curative options available and you want to live the best quality of life for as long as you live. And, okay, enough about hospice for a minute. Remember, palliative care is an important part of that.
Right, because every hospice company provides some level of hospice care, and it all meets the minimum Medicare standards. But we want to bring a whole new level, a whole other concept, and add that on to great hospice care.
There's a different definition of palliative care. We're running short on time, so we're not going to be able to really expand on that much today. So feel free to give our office a call, 435-477-6999, 435-477-6999. Before we go, let's talk about bring your family home for the holidays. There are options. We can bring in the support you need to bring your loved one home, 24-hour-a-day access to nurses and information 7 days a week, even over the holidays. That's important because it's kind of scary when you're dealing with somebody who's ill, not knowing, you know, medication distribution, how to deal with a circumstance. That's exactly why we're here. Our palliative program will help you navigate that path, and you can bring your loved ones home for the holidays.
Because COVID has made this very difficult for facilities. I mean, when you're looking at trying to limit exposure, that means we're limiting staff. And when we have an overwhelming number of people in these facilities and the staff is running at, you know, the ragged edge trying to provide the minimum care that's needed, and those people are not having any joy, you know, those days when they're just completely alone, just waiting for the next day. If we can help relieve that stress on the facilities, move some of those people out so that the staff that does still work there doesn't have to stretch themselves so far, then that's going to be better for everybody, but especially for those that can come out and be home for the holidays and spend time with family. If you had a fear that you don't think you can care for your loved ones in your home, we want you to know that we will help you overcome that fear, and we will provide the care that's needed to boost your support there and make
right.
it
the
available.
Support staff and doctors who can answer all those questions or concerns, so you don't have to fear, oh, what if I have to run to the, if I take him out, I'll have to go to the hospital, emergency room, quick care center. Access to doctors, vast knowledge are available immediately to you.
Yeah, so we really want to help you. So give us a call, and we'll talk about what your options are of getting them out into your home for the holidays so that it can be a very special season for everybody. And we really thank you, you as our listeners. Give
us
a call.
We look forward to hearing from you, 435-477-6999.
The number is 435-477-6999.
Thank you.